Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lauren Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, Paul. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. How are you? Good to be on here. Thanks for having me.
It's so excited to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am a writer, screenwriter, and executive in the entertainment industry. I have over the last, decade or two spent a lot of time working, running film companies, working as producer in entertainment, as well as writing features and writing books. So the book I have coming out in April, The Small Stuff, is my third book, but my first fiction novel. The two previous books were nonfiction humor books. One was called Consumer Joe, Harassing Corporate America, One Letter at a Time. I wrote crazy letters to American corporations. And the other nonfiction book was called The Lost Blogs, which imagined what historical figures might have written on their own websites had they had the technology during history. So those were kind of fun, humorous books, but my focus was always to get to the place where I could tell some engaging stories in the fiction space. And so this was one that I wrote during the beginning of the pandemic.
So talk to us about this whole writing process of writing fiction. Like, you get to create your own world, you get to create your own characters, get to be in control of things,
Well, I'll tell you, it's writing a fiction novel, especially if you've worked in the entertainment industry and you've worked on anything, scripted that will become a show or a movie. It is a committee scenario. It is decisions made by many, many people. I have this funny story. I had written and sold a television pilot to ABC years ago, and it was about a jury that was sequestered in a hotel. And it was like a soap opera bit of all the different people kind of getting ahead of being sequestered. And the big note from the network at the time was, can we lessen the legal part of the show? Can you just get rid of? And it was like, this is a jury. It's about a jury. So when you're working in the entertainment industry, there are so many people at the table giving you notes. What's so freeing about writing a fiction novel, aside from when you get to your editing phase, it's really you. And at the end of the day, if you feel super passionate about something, then you can have that discussion and see if you can just push those things forward. So it's writing is a very solitary thing. It's a very very personal thing, and it's a scary thing, right? You write a book, you put yourself into it, and then people tell you what they think. People have an opinion, and so. But getting to that point, it's so much more satisfying, I think, to be able to just write it for you and hope that the right people gravitate towards it at the end of the day. And so, having written, when you write a screenplay is only what you see and hear. That's all you put on the page. So when you can't talk, you're not in people's heads. You can't jump into backstory. And so to be able to write a story where you can, anyone who reads The Small Stuff, we'll see. The attention to detail of really digging into all the details of these people's lives is what made it really fun.
So talk to us as a small stop. What is the elevator pitch?
So the elevator pitch, I would say it's a romantic comedy with fantastical elements. I often refer to it as a mix between like 500 Days of Summer and The Adjustment Bureau. It's a book that fits into that universe of Sliding Doors or The Lake House or Serendipity. And it's about how two soulmates find each other, two people that have been crossing paths for years, but never realized the other person was crossing their path. But at the end of the day, it's the story of the village of people around them and the small decisions that they make that ultimately bring these two people together. Because, it's funny, people who are buy into the soulmate scenario, if we believe there's somebody else out there for us, is it fate? Is it mean the universe wants it to happen? Is it because I turned left instead of turning right? But my story is there's a cast of characters who at the beginning, you don't quite know how are they all going to play a part. And ultimately, all of their life decisions cause two other people, these two key soulmates, to find each other. And I'm fascinated with that stuff. Like, I could say to you, here you have a podcast. Like, if you go back in time, you might be able to say these tiny little decisions that you made in life allowed you to now have this podcast with hundreds and hundreds of people that have come and talked to you. And you didn't realize at the time that that little decision where you went decided to go get coffee at that corner coffee shop was one of the main reasons why we're sitting here today. And so I'm always endlessly fascinated with why we are where we are today. So it really wasn't an elevator pitch, but you know.
I love this. So what was the process of writing this? Because you wrote in the pandemic and you're writing, your things do connect with each other. So, you know, it might be more complex than just like, you know, plotting away, you know.
Well, the way I start, I mean, clearly starting with our two key protagonists, Josh and Maggie, two people who have never seemed to find the right person in their life and had sort of given up on the fact that they ever will. The goal always for me is I answer questionnaires for all of my characters. I want to know everything about them, what the key moments of their childhood were. They may never come to pass, but they influence how they react in certain situations. And then, of course, the whole catalyst, the whole concept is here's a village of people who are all strangers, we think, who are all going to be the result, the reason for these folks coming together. And so really building out, it's like the puzzle of when you read the book, you're meeting a bunch of different characters at first, and you don't know who is this person in relation to this person. Excuse me. And so that I had to build that out. I had to really understand, like, how was it all going to connect in the end, which was fun. I mean, at the end of the day, you like that puzzle. And I believe that readers are very smart. Like, you don't have to serve every beat to them on a silver spoon. Like, I think people like to discover and uncover, you know, things throughout the experience. So, but it was a lot of character work for sure.
Yeah, I like the fact you just did a puzzle. Like, you created your own puzzle. You know, while in the pandemic, we're playing with puzzles, like, you created your own puzzle in your writing, your hobby.
That's right. I mean, and I'll tell you, excuse me, during the pandemic, I mean, we're all sitting around and we're like trying to find meaning in our world. And everything that we look at out there are these depressing, there's no end in sight. And so those moments for me to be able to put myself in another world that was optimistic, that was hopeful, that was, you know, somebody, one of the reviews recently in the book was said, you know, the book makes your heart sing. It's, you know, we need that. Like, we need, I call it like the weighted blanket of entertainment, you know, these things, the old classic movies that we love from the 90s or the 2000s. Like, there are all these things that people were doing during the pandemic to try to find something that felt good. And so for me, the act of writing it allowed me to get my head out of the news and the pandemic, and am I going to catch X, and am I going to lose my sense of smell, like all these crazy things. Like, let's just live in a world for a beat that is hopeful for everybody.
I love this. So let's chat about your reading. What kind of books do you tend to read?
So I'm all over the place. I love anything that combines genre elements. So if you can give me a romance novel with a sci-fi component, I love those things combined. Like, one of the books that I read in the last year that I loved was The Midnight Library by Matt Haig, which is, again, there's romance elements, but it's really about a woman who ultimately, in the moment she's about to die, is able to experience as many other different lives she might have had, she could have had, and decide which one she wants to go with on a go-forward basis. You know, things like, you know, there's a book called When You and I Collide by Kate Norris. It's like a multiverse, two worlds colliding of people falling in love. Meet Me in Another Life. It's a book by Catriona Sylvie. Again, two people who keep meeting in different times over history. I love those things. There's a book that's not new at all called Replay by Ken Grimwood, which I love, which is about a guy in his 40s who has a heart attack and wakes up back in college and starts reliving full lives one after another, knowing what he knows, and about the woman who's doing the same thing and how they fall for each other and keep finding each other each time they come into another life. So there's a theme, clearly. I love that concept of soulmates and multiverses and a sense of humor. I mean, for me, for folks that read the book, I mean, it is There's pop culture references. There's a sense of humor to the voice of the characters. So I love a book that'll bring me, you know, there's no drama without comedy. There's no comedy without drama. Character is the basis of all of those things. But I do love the what ifs. I love the stories that allow us to see what those what if questions answered. What if I could go back and be a kid again? What if I could switch my regrets? What if the woman next to me on the subway is the person I'm supposed to be with? What if I turn left and not right? I love those things because I do believe that we're not just on a rock in the middle of an infinite universe where we have no choice or we have no path. I believe that there is a path, and how we get there, everybody does it differently. But those are the kind of things I love to dig into.
I love this. I love that your reading life actually matches your work life. So
yeah, but by the way, at the same time, I'm reading the Will Smith, you know, biography. I'm reading Crossroads by Franzen, or Our Country Friends by Gary Scheidengart. So I try to read as much as I can, you know, when I'm not doing my day job, clearly. But I'm reading constantly, whether it's scripts or books or whatever that may be.
I love this. What are you currently reading right now? You mentioned you're reading Will Smith. Are you listening to it, or are you reading it?
I'm reading it. I find that typically when I have time to actually listen to books, it's at the end of the day. And so I end up collapsing and basically re-listening to the same 10 minutes for weeks on end, which never is good. So I prefer to look at the book, but I'm reading the Will Smith book. I'm reading, let's see. Well, Sorry I Missed You, I'm reading, which is written by Susie Krause. That's been out for a bit. That's the romantic comedy that I like. But Crossroads by Franzen and the Will Smith biography book. And then a book that I'll always go back and read endlessly is a book called The Heartbreaking Work of Staggering Genius by Dave Eggers, which was a big book a while ago. And I just love, I love a very unique voice. I love somebody who plays with structure. I mean, you'll see in my book, like there comes a point where you get to a point in the story and suddenly you've jumped 30 years in the future. And I'm always playing with, I'm hiding certain things. I'm playing with the order of events. And I love authors like in A Heartbreaking Work, if it's not something you've ever read, Dave Eggers uses footnotes. They're like some of the pages, like the footnotes are half the page, because he goes into these tirades that are very funny about background elements that tie into the narrative of the story. So, but anyways, those are a few of the ones that I'm reading right now. And Touch of Jen by Beth Morgan, which is about a couple who is obsessed with an Instagram influencer and end up finding her in real life and what happens when the three of them come together. That's a fun one also.
Oh my gosh, I have to pick that one up. So
yeah, it's really cool. Really wild and strange, but fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So awesome. Tell us where you can find you online.
So you can find me online at pauldavidson.net. You can see the other books that I publish. There's a bunch of stuff up there that actually expand the world of the small stuff. There's a cool interactive map of Los Angeles, of all the real places in the book, where they exist in Los Angeles and how they tie to the story itself. There's a cool Spotify playlist. There's a lot of music referenced from the 90s and beyond in the book. So there's a Spotify playlist there. And if you really want to get, you know, scholastic, there's a book club list of questions you can ask yourself. So it's all up there at pauldavidson.net. And then I'm on Instagram at what am I, PaulieD71. And you can find me on Twitter at Paul Davidson. So just search my name. You'll find me or the Paul Davidson who writes for USA Today, one of the two.
Sounds good. Well, thank you, Paul, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for women's audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the KISS Club. To sign up for Libre FM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What's Your Next Podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourrenexblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.